You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
If Sunday night ends up being the last time we see Aaron Rodgers play for the Green Bay Packers, it was a game that ended a lot like most of the losses he experienced throughout his career. In other words, his team was let down by garbage defense. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's. And Joe Barry's unit has hit a new low. 40-33 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field, a game played before the nation on NBC's Sunday Night Football. 33 points. And I tell you what, I remember the days when 33 points was enough to get you a win. Guess those days are gone now, huh? And yeah, that's the last time the Packers will play on NBC this year, so America has been spared. Gonna go out on a limb and guess they won't be flexed into any Sunday night games the rest of the way. I'm gonna take a shot in the dark on that and say that that's probably not happening. Thankfully, I'll be spared having to listen to Chris Collinsworth call any more Packers games. We'll all be spared that. Ah, Chris Collinsworth. He's like John Madden if John Madden was a meth addicted redneck from Kentucky. The thing is, here's the thing. I'm kidding. I actually don't mind Collinsworth when he's not calling the Packers. I said this on the show before, but when he calls Packers games, I'm always like, shut up, you hillbilly. He was in rare form even for Chris tonight. He was in rare form. You gotta love Collinsworth, who, what's the nice way to say this? Threw bouquets at Jalen Hurts for 3 hours. Let's not go the graphic route. Let's say he spent 3 hours throwing bouquets at Jalen Hurts, and then as the game is over, Collinsworth goes, Mike, I gotta tell you, you gotta hand it to Jalen Hurts tonight. I gotta say, we gotta hand it to him. As if you hadn't spent 3 hours just doing that, Chris. I was like, shut up! Oh! Fun times. This is a fun night, right? We all had fun tonight, didn't we? Good stuff. With the loss, the Packers dipped to 4-8. 4-8 on the season. Seems unreal, doesn't it? It is real, though. Still in third place in the NFC North, roughly the same distance from the Earth to the Moon, away from the Minnesota Vikings. 9-2 after their Thanksgiving night win over the New England Patriots. The score was whatever, who gives a shit. Do you care? You know, you watch, you know, whatever it was. Go look it up. What am I, ESPN.com? Green Bay is a half game back of the second place Detroit Lions. The Lions 4-7 after losing to the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving. That was a great game. I actually thought the Lions might pull that one out. But the Bills hit the field goal right at the end to win it. What was the score again? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Actually, the Vikings can clinch the North next week. Did you know this? If they beat the New York Jets and the Lions lose to Jacksonville, that's very possible. Both those things happen. So great stuff. It's just what a fun football season this has been, huh? We still have 5 more weeks. Good stuff. Lucky us. Who's the big winner? Us, I say. And the Chicago Bears, Green Bay's opponent next week. More on them towards the end of the show. We're without Justin Fields, and it showed as they got their asses blown out by the New York Jets. 31-10. Before we get into the fun, aren't you having fun already? You've already heard my Chris Collinsworth impression. I think it's pretty good. I just kind of try to do like a twangy Kentucky thing. I think it's pretty good though. Let me know. What do you think? I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, @ It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. I promise I'm going to start putting stuff up on Facebook. There we go. It's going to happen. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts@gmail.com. You can send me an email. You don't have to wait till Sunday night after the Packers lose. Email me during the week. What do you think of the show? Your thoughts on the team? Where are you listening from? I'd love to hear any of that stuff. That'd be great. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those most. Don't I deserve a 5-star rating and a positive comment at this point for doing these shows every week after all these kick-in-the-nuts losses? So that'd be great. 5 stars, 4 stars, a positive comment. Hey, hit me. You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue. I really hope Vince, if he was watching tonight, I tell you what, he was barfing all over the place watching that shit. That was a horror show. Can you even imagine? But we're on Spotify. Search for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. If you listen on a platform I don't mention, as always, let me know. And again, just subscribe. Mash down on that subscribe button, then we deliver these pods right to your phone. You don't have to go searching for me, or No Huddle Radio, or Cheesehead Radio, or the Packers Therapy Guys. You subscribe, we deliver it to you. Sounds pretty good, right? Yeah, good stuff. And you know what? Again, hey, if you're like, look, this show gets a lot of listeners. I'm very happy, but I would always like some more. So, you know, maybe tell your friends, tell your family. Oh, hey, you're a Packer fan also. You should listen to this podcast. It's good stuff. Spread the word. Let's get it out there. Let's get even. I want even more people listening, right? Or as David Lee Roth once said, if you love it, tell a friend. And if you hate it, tell an enemy. Either way. It's going to be a fun show tonight. If you can't tell already, strap in. It's going to be a fun show tonight. And I have to give a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. For all your Packers ticket needs, head to their website, theticketking.com. Those wonderful folks will take care of you. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go, let's dive right in, let's do what Joe Barry's unit could not do, and let's start tackling this L. It's a everybody's grabbing, nobody's tackling, grab, grab, grab L. As Vince Lombardi would say, you got to kind of make that motion that Vince was making, the grabbing motion. That's the way you describe this L. Oh, again, Vince, I hope Vince, wherever he was, I hope he decided not to watch tonight. You know, maybe he had some stuff on the DVR somewhere up there that he wanted to catch up on, because he would be disgusted, horrified watching this performance. So yeah, if you haven't guessed by now, that's where I'm going to start. We're going to talk about this defense. 15 missed tackles. That's per Matt LaFleur in his postgame presser. He said they had him charted as 15. Honestly, that feels low. It felt like 115, didn't it? This defense has been terrible. Do they practice tackling in any way, shape, or form? Like, are they running flag football drills in these practices? This isn't flag football, it's tackle. What is going on out there? That was embarrassing. All the missed tackles, multiple missed tackles on the same play. Oh, Christ. I was going to have a heart attack. What a mess. Pathetic. Pathetic. All these high picks. All the money, all the contracts and the signing bonuses. And they can't even do the most basic thing, tackle. Sickening, isn't it? That, to me, was the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, that was the biggest thing tonight. Right? The defense sucked. I mean, Jesus, what was it? 363 yards rushing they gave up to the Eagles. Hurts with 157 on 17. Miles Sanders with 143 on 21. So that tells me, what is that? 300 yards. This is like what the service academies do in college football. Like 300 yards rushing. This is the NFL. What is this? 300 yards rushing on 38 carries for those two. Two touchdowns from Sanders. Why not throw those in? What the hell? So, I mean, that was, you know, that's obviously the biggest reason why they were, you know, Ripping shit on the ground was the missed tackles. Pathetic. Now, here's the thing. That part you can't really... I know everybody's going to rip Joe Barry, and I know there's a lot of stuff about Joe Barry coming up in the questions and comments. I get it. And certainly he's at fault for a lot of this. The tackling, I mean, I guess you could say it's on him in the sense that maybe they're not working on it as much. But these guys are paid to tackle. That's on the player. That part you can't really put on Joe Barry, not too much anyways. That's true. Here's what you can put on Joe Barry. They weren't prepared at all for Jalen Hurts' scrambling early in the game. Did they not watch any film of any Eagles games? I've watched like 4 Eagles games this year. I could have told you that was going to be a huge part of their attack early and often. And early in the game, the Packers weren't prepared. What were they watching in the film room this week? The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special? What was that? That was embarrassing, their lack of preparation for that. That you do put on Joe Barry. He had 103 rushing yards in the first quarter. Was it 7 carries? 7 for 103 in the first? That's humiliating. Right? Now, they did adjust. Right? Slowed him down somewhat the rest of the way. He only had 54 the rest of the way. So, yeah. I guess you kind of credit Barry for that part. But here's what happened. Push down, pop up. The same shit we've been seeing all year from the Packers and the defense. You know, Packers as a whole, but the defense specifically. Because what happened was they made the adjustments to slow down Hurts' scrambling, but it paralyzed them everywhere else. You know? Paralyzed them. They slowed Hurts down, but then here comes Miles Sanders eating them up. Miles Sanders looked like Barry Sanders. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So he ate him up. Now, the run defense has been, you know, it's been garbage all year. So it's not a real surprise that he did that, you know. But again, I do think a big part of his performance, aside from him just being a good running back, because he is a good running back. Again, the defense was so clued in on Hurts. They forgot about the other guy in the backfield that's pretty good, too. Paralyzed them. And then when Hurts did drop back to pass again, there it is again. They were so worried about him taking off. He did damage with his arm. What did he even finish with passing? 16 to 28 for 153, 2 scores, no picks, 5.5 yards per attempt. So, like, no, nothing, like, he wasn't setting the world on fire, but he did enough. He did enough, again, considering the defense was so paralyzed, where they were shitting themselves about him taking off. So when he had to hit throws, he hit him. You know, he's a good passer. He can sling it, and he's got some really good weapons. I mean, A.J. Brown, of course, is a stud. The Devontae Smith, I mean, he won a Heisman. The Quez Watkins kid is pretty good. He's got weapons. You know? So you add all this up, and you get a formula for disaster when you're a defense as bad as the Packers are. Yeah. Push down, pop up. Can't stop Hurts. Now we can stop Hurts. Oh, here comes everything else. Yeah, I talked about last week with the Titans game. You know, you only have to look back that far. They take Henry out of the game. Oh, but here comes Tannehill. Career night. Damn near career night. Just one of the most pathetic units I've seen. Offense, any unit, offense, defense, special teams. This is one of the most pathetic units I've seen in my time as a Packers fan. And you think about some of the trash defenses we've seen and trash special teams we've seen. Bad defenses, bad special teams. You know? They're up there. They're up there with any of them. It's one of the worst defenses. Again, considering what we've seen, that's saying something. What an idiot I am. I can't believe I thought this would be a top 5 or top 8 defense. Why did I think that? Was I on ayahuasca? Oh, I'm. You can probably tell by now, I'm pissed. That was, the offense played well enough. They did more than enough for this team to win the game. And keep their slim playoff hopes alive. Again, 33 points. That should be enough. 10 times out of 10. Or at least 9 times out of 10. It wasn't. You know? And it's everybody. It's Joe Barry. It's the players. They've all contributed. It's a disaster. Yeah. You know? Oh, and the third and longs. All the third and longs they gave up. And the worst part is, you know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. They're going to give them up. It's third and 12. Do you have any faith they're going to get off the field? Or force a field goal? No. You don't. You don't. I don't. Nobody does. Of course not. You have a pulse. You're alive. You've watched this team. That's like, and that's really embarrassing. That, and the fact that so much of Philly's running, so much of their rushing success was right up the middle. Like, those two things, the third and longs and getting just gashed up the middle, those just are like the two things in neon lights that scream, this is a pathetic defense. When you get beat up the middle like that on the ground, you have no heart. You're not tough. You're not physical. Where is Kenny Clark? Does Kenny Clark play for this team? Why am I getting pop-up ads? No, I don't. Remind me later, Norton. Someone put Kenny Clark on a milk carton? He's been missing for like over a month now. It's just those two things right there. Again, that to me, if you didn't need any other signs, that would tell you enough this is a pathetic defense. Third and longs, getting gashed up the middle on the ground. No heart. No heart. You know? Because they wasted an overall really good night from the offense and special teams. You know? I thought Rodgers played well. I did. What, 11 of 16, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 8.8 yards per attempt. You know, not like the most exciting line, but I thought he played well. You know? Hit some really nice throws. The touchdown to Aaron Jones was really impressive. Scrambling out of the pocket and then flipping one to Jones, goes up, skies up for it, comes down with it. That was good. That was good. You know, I thought Rodgers played well. And you know what? Whatever we think about Aaron Rodgers, you have to give him credit. He's tough. You know? Should he even have been playing? Probably not, especially now knowing what we know about the thumb injury. They should have sat him after London. Certainly after the Jets game. That's on the team. They screwed that up. But you know what? I give him credit. He battled tonight. The thumb and then the oblique injury or the rib injury or whatever. I mean, Jesus, he could barely even... It looked like he could barely breathe on some of those plays towards the end of his time tonight. But he gave it his all, you know, and he wanted to keep this team alive. Defense just failed him. Now, he had the two picks. The one he said, the one that was the pass to Davis, I don't know why you're throwing to Tyler Davis in a game this big, but he said in his presser that Davis ran the wrong route on that. So that wasn't really on Rodgers. Then the other one went off a guy. He said, if you need further proof that this team is fucking cursed, that's the second time this year that a pick, Rodgers has thrown a pick that went off of a guy's head, shot straight up into the air, and landed softly in the arms of another player for the opposing defense. Remember, it happened against Detroit. Second time. I mean, what else do you need to know? I could have just done that. The whole show could have just been me saying, Rodgers threw another pick that went off of a guy's head. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. And you'd have been like, yeah, that says it all. I thought he played well. And then Jordan Love came in after Rodgers exited the game. Love, 6 of 9. 113 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks, 12.6 yards per attempt. You know, I think would he only have the 2 drives? But I thought Love played well. Hit some nice throws. Felt more like the LaFleur offense, the offense that LaFleur wants to run, right? I'm sure I'll talk more about that when I get to the questions and stuff. But yeah, I felt like he ran the offense the way it was supposed to be run. Hit some nice throws. The one down the sidelines to Jones, that was a beautiful throw. Jonesy just dropped it. That was a bad drop for Jonesy. He needs to come down with that. You know, he needs to help his quarterback out there. That was disappointing. But that was a beautiful throw. And then the one to Cobb in the end zone, I thought the DB got there early, but it wasn't called. Right? It looked like that should have been pass interference and ball at the one. But I thought he played well. You know, he looked confident. Competent. It didn't look like he was rushed at all. Felt like everything was on time. You know, he was playing fast. It was good stuff. You know, so again, more on the offense. Speaking of, I mean, Christian Watson, I mean, the kid just continues to show out. 4 catches, 110 yards. The 63-yarder was a thing of beauty. Little slant over. That was the Christian Watson package on display. Little slant over the middle. Turns on the Jets, he's just too big, too fast, no one's catching him. You know, I'm still not ready to say a star is born or anything, but it's you know, I'm starting to look bad about shitting on that pick. I'll say that. This kid looks like the real deal, doesn't he? Yeesh. Packers got a player there, it looks like. Jones, you know, he had the one drop I mentioned, but he made some nice plays. Again, he had the nice catch in the nice touchdown catch from Rodgers. So he finishes with 12 carries, 43 yards. I thought he did what he could on the ground. It was tough sledding. That's a tough Philadelphia front seven. But 12 carries, 43 yards, and then three grabs for 56 and a score. So 15 for 99 and a score. It's a pretty good day. And A.J. Dillon, he ran hard, didn't he? He just continues. It's too little too late. But he is really rounding into form as the season goes on. I thought he ran really, really well. 64 yards on 8 carries and a touchdown. The 20-yard touchdown was a thing of beauty, too. His power and his speed were really on display on that, I thought. So 8 for 64 to score, and then he caught 3 for 24. So 11 touches for 88 yards and a score. So good night. Good nights from both the backs. Yeah. And actually, I think had the offensive line not been so hit and miss, the offensive line started the game really well. And then just kind of was not, kind of got worse as the game went on. Played a little bit better when Love came in, it felt like. But had they not been so hit and miss, I think they could have and would have put even more points on the board. And then the special teams, I mean, Kayshawn Nixon. Packers have a kick returner. I really believe they have a kick returner now. He just continues to look like the answer back there. Yeah. He had the one to start the third quarter. I was like, my God, why are you fielding this 5 yards in the end zone? He got it out near the 50. Then he had another big return later in the game, too. He looks, they may have the guy. I think he's only on a one-year deal. They may want to look, I know they have very limited cap space, but they may want to look into locking him up. Yeah. Because I think he might be the guy. So, yeah, good. I mean, you know, good performances overall from the offense and special teams. But when your defense is just, I mean, shit, it's not good enough. It's not going to be enough. No. You have to play some semblance of defense, and they didn't. And they're 4-8 now. And that's a big reason why. So that's my part of the show. Let's move on to the Twitter bag, the email bag, the Facebook bag. All the bags are all full, which is impressive because, you know, the game just ended, what, like an hour and a half ago? So, yeah, I'm thankful everybody's sending these questions. So let's start with Twitter. Hang on one second here. Okay. So this is Twitter. These are in no particular order. Let's start with my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, one of my bestest friends in the world, Adam Summers, on Twitter, brewcrewer at @asummers_time. He has a two-parter. The first one is, so he writes, from @JessicaAHammond, that's his wife, his lovely wife. She says, quote, always want to win, but I feel good about most of what I saw tonight. Right? I always want to win, but I feel good about most of what I saw tonight. I hope Gary is able to come back next year as the same player he was pre-injury. Him and Campbell, huge impact players on that D. Bright side, didn't help the Vikes out at all. And then Adam says, from @Summers_times, is from him now. How quick can Jim Leonard get to Green Bay? Okay, so I'll just kick this off right away and say, that's not the last time you're going to hear Jim Leonard's name. There's more than a couple Jim Leonard questions and comments, so let's get to it right away. All right, so from your wife's question and comment, Adam, yeah, I think you can feel good about what you saw tonight from the offense and the special teams. I thought O'Donnell, we had a couple punts that he hit the ball well, too. Yeah, I think you can feel good about the offense and the special teams. And what you can and what you saw from Love, and obviously from Watson and the running backs. Yeah, you're right, Gary. I mean, not having him was big. Not having him was huge tonight. For his ability to explode off the edge and get after the quarterback, he could have really made Hurts uncomfortable on a lot of those dropbacks. And it was tough. You know, it was tough not having him. They're still struggling to kind of cobble together a competent pass rush without him. Although I will say, I think they got a player in this Kingsley Enagbare. The kid, I love that pick. Was he a fourth or fifth rounder? Love that pick, and he continues to just show up every week and make noticeable plays. You know, I think they got a real player there. Yeah. I think he and Gary could be a pretty nice edge combo going into the future. But yeah, certainly having Gary back would be big. Yeah, not having Campbell, he hasn't had, you know, his season hadn't been what it was last year. He wasn't playing at the level he was last year before he got hurt, but you'd certainly love to have a guy like that. And Quay is doing some good things, but the responsibility of being the guy at inside linebacker, I think, is a little much for him right now. That's pretty obvious. So having Campbell there would help. And yeah, you're right. They didn't help the Vikings out at all. So that's always good. Fuck them, right? As for your question, how quick can Jim Leonard get to Green Bay? So let's talk about that. It sure looks like Jim Leonard's going to be available now, doesn't it? Yeah. Wisconsin surprising everybody Sunday and announcing that their new head coach will be, what, Luke Fickell? Formerly of Cincinnati? So, yeah, I tell you, I think Leonard's going to be available, and I think he's going to be the guy. At this point, I would be shocked if Jim Leonard isn't the next defensive coordinator for the Packers. Yeah, I don't think he'll be there before the end of the season. I've seen some people saying, well, why doesn't LaFleur just hire him tomorrow? Well, because unfortunately, it doesn't work that way in the NFL most of the time. I can't think of a team that's ever made a coordinator hire like that this late in the season. I'm sure there are teams that have fired coordinators late in the season, but they just go with an interim guy, someone on staff, to get them through the end of the year. I can't think of a team that's fired a coordinator and then brought in their long-term guy this late in the year. I don't think that's going to happen. But I would think once the season ends and LaFleur makes the call, and yeah, I would think he could get there pretty fast. Yeah, I would expect things to move pretty quickly on that once the season ends, yeah. So good stuff there. Thank you to Adam and Jess. You guys are awesome. Our next one comes from Kyle Burling at KJB. Must say KGB. KJBD11. Kyle writes, it's not all Joe Barry's fault. He's not out there missing tons of tackles, for example. But he can't have a job tomorrow. Someone needs to be held accountable, and they can't cut everyone. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Kyle. It's like I said earlier in the show, it's not his fault. He's not out there missing the tackles. But you're right. I mean, you know, LaFleur gets rid of Amari Rodgers, gets rid of, what was the third running back? Kylan Hill. And he kind of, not so much the Rodgers thing, but the Kylan Hill thing, you know, talking about accountability and all that shit. If you're going to be that way with your third string running back and your number five wide receiver punt returner, who shouldn't have been on punt returns anyways, that's your fault he was back there so long, you and Rich. If you're going to hold those guys accountable, don't you have to hold the defense? I mean, if you're going to focus on accountability that low on the roster, don't you have to with your coordinators as well? I think you do. I agree. I don't think he should have a job tomorrow. Unfortunately, he probably will. Yeah. They'll probably ride with Barry through the rest of the season, would be my guess. But you're right. Someone should be held accountable, and they can't cut everybody. No, I agree with everything you're saying, but unfortunately, I would expect Joe Barry to be the coordinator the rest of the way. Yeah. All right, so thank you, Kyle. Next one comes from Justin Cornwell, longtime friend of the show, going back to the Podbean days. Thank you, Justin, on Twitter at Justin A. Cornwell. He writes, very happy for Jordan Love. Still a long way to go to see if he is actually a guy, but he's been a punching bag nationally and for Packers fans for 3 years with little fault of his own. Awesome to see him play well and have strong moments on a big stage. And fuck Joe Barry. Now, I put out the call on Twitter. I said, any questions, comments, concerns, you just want to scream, fuck Joe Barry. So Justin obliged me on that. So thank you, Justin. Yeah, I'm happy for Jordan Love, too. I thought he played well. You're right. It was nice to see him have that moment. You're right. I agree with you. Yeah, I don't know if we've necessarily learned anything about Jordan Love tonight, but he did play well in relief duty in a tough spot. So that was good to see. And you're right, it's been weird to see so many people, like, trash Jordan Love. Packers fans and that, you're right, he has been trashed by a lot of people. And it wasn't his fault, right? He didn't ask to be picked by Green Bay. You know, he didn't ask to be put in the spot. So I agree with you. He has been a punching bag, which has been weird to see. Hang on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. My chair was being goofy. I don't know why people have... he's been the focus of so much hate. You know? I'm not surprised, because it was the same way with Aaron Rodgers all those years ago. People hated him for years and years while Favre was still the guy. I think people just hate change. You know? This has been... he's the guy. He's been the guy. I don't want to change. We fear change. Right? As Garth says in Wayne's World. So it's been weird to see... it's been weird to see so many people have these, like, definite opinions on Jordan Love. He's definitely going to be good. Or he definitely sucks. You see more of that than you do he's definitely going to be good. But my opinion's always been, how can you know? We don't really know. A handful of preseason games and a handful of snaps in the regular season. We don't know enough to say anything. Could be good, could be bad. So, yeah, strange stuff to see all these concrete opinions. So, yeah, thank you for that, Justin. Our next one comes from Nick Sivertson. Hope I'm saying your last name right, Nick. At Nicholas Sivert1 on Twitter. Nick has a two-parter. I know we didn't see much from Love, but what did you see? I'm very happy with how he looked in there. A couple throws a bit behind, but also made some really beautiful throws. The one Cobb dropped. Also, without getting into Barry too much, did he not expect Hurts to run? Philly can keep him. And then did he send another one? Oh, yeah, he did. He said, or was it Jones who dropped that? I don't know. I can't remember now. Yeah, it was Jones that dropped it, not Cobb. Cobb was the one in the end zone that, like I mentioned, probably should have been pass interference. Should have been Green Bay's ball at the one. The guy got there early, but even Collinsworth pointed that out. So even if he can see it, I mean, it's pretty obvious. So what did I see? Okay, that's a great question. Here's the thing about Love. Here's why I think fans, because you're right, I don't know if we can take a ton away from it, like I just said in response to Justin's comment. But here's, I do think you can take some good away from, not just how he played, but think about this. The starting quarterback of an NFL team, like you go to training camp, right? Everybody gets snaps. The starter, the backup, the third string guy, the camp arm that they brought in. It's not, I don't know if a lot of people know this, it's not that way during a game week. Like, I've seen estimates even as high as like 80 to 85% of the snaps in practice during a game week in the regular season go to the starter, right? Because you've got to get him ready. So it's not like the backup gets, Jordan Love probably gets 10% of the snaps, 15% of the snaps in a given practice week. So to have that little preparation time, obviously he leads the scout team too, but to have that little prep time and to still step in on a big stage against a really good team and play the way he did and look confident like he did, that I do think you can take away from this game as a major positive from Jordan Love. I don't think you can take much away from like, here's what I'm trying to say. I don't think you can take much away from like, oh, he's going to be the guy for sure. Although I'm sure some people are already saying that. But you can take away that in a week where he didn't get a lot of prep time, he came in on a big stage, again, against a really good team and played well and looked confident and looked like he was playing up to speed. The game didn't look too fast for him. His footwork was good. Showed some mobility. It was all there. So that I do think you can take away as a major positive. Yes, that's what I saw. As for your question on Barry, did he not expect her? Like I said earlier, Nick, I can't believe it, man. It really felt like at the start of the game, they didn't watch any tape. They didn't expect he would run at all. How is that possible? How did I know that and Joe Barry didn't? And how have I said that same thing on the show multiple times? Multiple times this year I've said, how do I know this and Joe Barry doesn't? Philly can keep him. Yeah, just leave him there. Hell yeah, I'm with you on that. So thank you, Nick. Our next one comes from, oh, my buddy, my fellow Gopher alum, the infamous The Packer Ranter, at Packer Ranter on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, I'm sure you know who they are. They write, they ask, Did the Gophers free up Jim Leonard? Yeah, you know what? I think we might have. I think we might have, man. I think our guys did it. I think they lost. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. But I'm sure losing to Minnesota 2 years in a row was a big reason for Wisconsin to be like, we have to just blow all this shit up and start over. Let's spend a bunch of money and go get Luke Fickell. We can't be losing to Minnesota twice in a row. So I don't know if the Gophers are entirely responsible, but I definitely think we played a part. Yeah. It's funny, I was watching the local news here after the game because I just wanted to see the post-game pressers that they showed. And they had a reporter at the Bucks game tonight. And she was asking about, you know, Wisconsin hiring Luke Fickell. And was that the right move? And should they have kept Jim Leonard? And there were at least, it was at least two. There might have even been a third person that was like, we can't keep losing to Minnesota. We had to make a change. So, yeah, I think in a sense we did kind of free up Jim Leonard. I think our Gophers are at least partly responsible, which is what I said after the game yesterday. That, again, the Gophers won. We have the axe 2 years in a row. Choke on it, Bucky. But I said, you know, I go, look, I know you guys are probably pissed, Badger fans, but think of it this way. This makes it more likely that Jim Leonard is going to become the defensive coordinator of the Packers. And that's a win for everybody. So, yeah, I think we might have played a big part in that. Yeah, definitely Packer Ranter, for sure. All right. Next one comes from K. Rudolph at Scient West. Who asks, where did Keyshawn Nixon come from, and where was he earlier in the season? Who were the best and worst defensive line players? Was this Rodgers' last game? How much more does Rodgers get paid if Love replaces him? Okay, so a few questions there. Keyshawn Nixon's been, what was he, the number four, number five DB? And he's been returning kicks for a while now. And then got moved into the punt return role when things went shithouse with Rodgers, Amari Rodgers. So he's been returning kicks for a while, but he's finally starting to get good. He's finally seems like he's starting to gel with his blocking units on returns. It feels like they're kind of all coming together, which is great to see. So great work from Rich Versace, who I've been critical of on the show, but he really seems to have the kick return game moving in the right direction, which is great. Best and worst defensive line players. I guess Jerron Reed, I felt like he was in on some stuff tonight in a positive way. I can't say much good about Kenny Clark or Slayton or Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry. Someone asked me about him during the game on Twitter, and I said, you know, the thing with Dean Lowry, he usually starts slow and picks up speed as the season goes on, but this year he just started slow and stayed slow. This is his last year in Green Bay. You don't have to worry about that much longer. But I would say I thought Reed played well, or had some moments anyway. Was this Rodgers' last game? Okay, so we'll talk about that. I don't know. I think there's a definite chance. Because now he's got two injuries, right? Like, it's one thing. It's pretty clear he was going to play through the thumb, and they weren't going to say anything about it, at least until they were mathematically eliminated. But now with the thumb and the oblique injury, which Rodgers said in his presser after the game he left because it was mostly a pain issue. He said it was just unbearable pain. He couldn't take it anymore. He said even at his presser it was still really bad. Now with the two injuries, I do think it makes it easier for the Packers to just say, look, this is getting out of control now. We're going to shut you down and go to Love. Now, obviously, after the game, LaFleur was non-committal. He wouldn't really commit to anything about anything regarding the quarterback stuff, which you would expect. And Rodgers was, you know, hey, if I can get healthy, hopefully I can be out there Wednesday for practice. And, I mean, Rodgers isn't going to go down. He's not just going to get up there and say, yeah, I'm done. But it feels like that's where this is heading. It feels like the injuries are piling up now. They're 4-8. Yes, I guess they sort of have a shot at the playoffs, but it would take about 10 different miracles for that to happen now. What was the Jerry Glanville quote about far back in the day? Yeah, if there's 3 car crashes, 2 train wrecks, and a plane crash, you'll play. That's kind of how it feels about the Packers getting into the playoffs at this point. I mean, give me a break. So, It feels like with the way that's going and the injuries, it feels like this is the perfect time to say, let's go to Love. Put you on IR. We're not going to let you get beat up anymore. The season's over. We're going to play Love for these five games and see what we have. And we'll revisit the future at the end of the year. But that's what we're doing for right now. Doesn't that make the most sense? It does to me. So was this Rodgers' last game? I think there's a good chance of that, yeah. Yeah, at least this season, for sure. I don't know how much more he gets paid. His contract is very goofy. I'm not sure if he gets... I think there's a window if he retires or they trade him before a certain point in the offseason. I think he doesn't get paid any more money, new money, but I'm not sure on that. I'd have to check. It's a very complex contract. I know that. So thank you for that, Scient West. Next one comes from Grant at def_Grant. He's sensing the trend here. Jim Leonard, .. hello. Again, okay, I got more on Leonard now. It makes the most sense to come to Green Bay, doesn't it? Like, he clearly was very interested in the job 2 years ago or whatever it was before they hired Barry. Great move. Grand slam on that. He was very close to taking the job, right? And by all accounts, at least to me anyways, it sure seems like what happened was the administration, the AD, Barry Alvarez, McIntosh, whoever, went to him and said, look, don't take the job in Green Bay. Come back to Madison. We guarantee you will be the guy when Christ is done, right? That sure seems like that's what happened. So he takes it and goes back. Now, don't you feel kind of bad for Jim Leonard? I feel bad for him. Like, I'm a Gopher alum, so, like, you know, screw the University of Wisconsin. But I feel bad for him because he turned down that job with Green Bay to go back. Again, my theory's always been under the promise that he would be the guy to lead the program going forward after Christ was done. So they fired Christ earlier in the year. Now it's Leonard's job. Okay, now it's my time. He gets his dream job. He's going to be the guy. And it ends up being his dream job for a grand total of, what, about 7 weeks? Before they hire Fickle? So he has to lead this team that was not very good with players that weren't his. He gets 7 weeks as an audition. I feel like they did him. I think Madison did him dirty. I'll say that. Yeah, I definitely do. Coaching is such a cutthroat business, my God. I always think of the old Mike McCarthy quote, we take these jobs all knowing that we'll eventually be fired. How many other professions are like that? Not many, you know? It's a cutthroat business, man. But still, I feel bad for Leonard. I think they did him dirty. So anyways, I digress. I think it makes the most sense now. You know LaFleur is still going to be interested. And Leonard, it's not like he has a ton of options. I mean, I'm sure he has options at the collegiate level and pro. But what other options does he have that are as good as being the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator now? None. This is a great opportunity for him if he takes the job. Think about it. If he goes up to Green Bay after the shit we saw at the end with Dom and the Mike Pettine years, and the Joe Barry years. If he comes in and does a good job as defensive coordinator and turns that defense around, the world becomes his oyster. As far as NFL head coaching jobs, certainly collegiate head coaching jobs. Like, taking the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator gig is the quickest path for Leonard to get to where he wants to go. There's no job that he'll be offered that's better than this. No, and it's in-state. He doesn't have to move his family very far. Like, it's perfect. I'll say this right now. I'd be shocked if he's not the next defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Shocked. Floored. Definitely. So thank you for that, Grant. Our last one comes from Rich Streeter. Is that right? Is that everybody? Yeah. Rich Streeter on Twitter at Rich_Streeter. Rich writes, tomorrow, Papa Murph calls you and says, Goody and Ball are out. I want to play limp ball from now on. Do you start with a reset or remake? Who are the five current players you trade, cut, let walk with enthusiasm? Trying the tweet thing, eh? Not bad. All right, thank you for that, Rich. Okay, well, the first thing I would say when Mark Murphy calls me, I would say, what the fuck took you so long? Because I've been waiting for this moment. It's about damn time. But seriously, I would start, so what would I start with? I wouldn't blow it up in the sense of getting rid of everybody. It would be, I'd say somewhere between a reset and a remake, Rich. And here's what I mean by that. On defense, I would still try to build around guys like, I still think Kenny Clark is a really good player, even though he has been missing. Gary, if the knee is healthy again, and I think it will be, he goes back to being all world. I love what we have in Quay Walker. I think his potential is very high. Ja is still one of the best 10 corners in the league. He has been up and down this year. Tonight was an example of that. Some good moments and some bad, but I still think he's one of the best 10 corners in football. So I've got game changers at all three levels. So I wouldn't get rid of any of them, but I would remold the defensive line other than Kenny and maybe Slayton. There's a lot of work that has to go in there. I like the edge guys if Gary comes back with Gary and Enagbare and Preston. The safety spot has to be remade. So I would remake safety and defensive line. And I would continue to add wide receivers. Yeah, I love Watson. I love where he's going. I love where Dobbs is going. But continue to add there. So, not a reset, and probably more of a remake, because you're saying remake, rebuild. I'd say something between a reset and a remake. I hope that makes sense. You know, I would really focus on two or three areas that I think really need to be bolstered, but I think this team, I mean, the cupboard isn't empty. I know a lot of people might think that, but it's not. There's a lot of talent there. It's just, they need to be better in some key areas. So something between those areas is what I would do. Who are the five current players I would trade, cut, let walk with enthusiasm? Oh, jeez. Well, Dean Lowry I would certainly let walk with enthusiasm. I would let Adrian Amos walk with enthusiasm. He looks cooked. He looks finished. Yeah, he doesn't look anything like even how he looked last year. Definitely would let those two walk. Who would I cut? I don't know if I'd cut anybody. Although, depending on what his contract looks like, Rasul Douglas has been a huge disappointment this year. He has not been good. I don't know what that contract looks like, but he might be a guy. He might be a surprise cut at this point. Yeah. Who else? You know, those are the guys I don't know if I have five for you right now. I probably have to think about that more. But certainly those three. I wouldn't trade Aaron Jones with enthusiasm because I love Aaron Jones, as you all know. But his cap number is not, it's not feasible for them to keep him next year. So I would trade him with great sadness, probably. And I'd have to think about a fifth guy, but that's a great question. Thanks, Rich. Okay, so those are all the tweets, right? Oh, yeah, those are all the tweets I see. If you sent one in after the fact, I apologize. Let's go now to the emails. Got some here. Let's start with Philip, who titles his email simply, Ouch. Does Joe Barry have a job next Sunday? Over 350 yards rushing, did they even watch tape? Okay, yeah, talked about this, Philip. I do think Joe Barry will be the guy, unfortunately. Although, I would fire him if I was LaFleur. Yeah, I think it would send a message to the team of accountability, and I think that's important. I don't think he will. I expect Joe Barry to be there next Sunday in Chicago, unfortunately. 350 yards rushing. You know, even just reading that, again. That's like high school football shit. That's like UP. That's back in my UP high school football days when I was covering high school football at the Mining Journal in Marquette, Michigan. That was almost 20 years ago. That's, yeah, that's the type of rushing totals you see in those games, because that's all anybody does is run the ball up there. Ridiculous. Did they even watch tape? No, I don't think they watched tape on Hurts. No, and I talked about that, but I'll talk about it again. I don't think they did. No. I think, no, I think they just, you know, because once, you know, he ate him alive. And again, once they made the adjustment, it paralyzed him everywhere else because they were so shit scared of Hurts that they let everything else go. So, yeah. All right, thank you for that, Philip. Next one comes from Sean. Title says email, Fired Joe Barry. Are you sensing the trend here? Lamps. This defense is an absolute joke. I cannot believe how easy most of those runs were by the Eagles. No answers from players or coaches. Hope to see Love next week to see what he has. He looked pretty good in a limited role there. I enjoy your podcast and look forward to it every Monday morning. Thanks for doing what you do, Sean. Well, thank you for that, Sean. It's, you know, it's always nice to hear that. Yeah, it's always, it's, I always get a kick out of people saying that they search for it Monday morning or they can't wait to get it in their, on their phone Monday mornings. That makes, I always say I am really touched by that. Because I do this show, like, for real, like, I do this show in my basement. And it's me and my laptop and my mic and, like, a drink. You know? And I'm just shouting into the void and I, you know, I never know who's going to listen. If anybody's going to, I mean, I know a lot of people listen, but, like, I never know exactly who's all listening. So when people say they look forward to it Monday mornings, that really, I'm always really touched by that. So thank you, Sean. Yeah, the defense is bad. Yeah. You're right. A lot of those runs were so easy. Again, I talked about that earlier, too, you know. Up the middle. Those looked like straight-up high school running plays right up the middle. Just the old, we don't think you're physical. We don't think you can match our level of physicality. So we're going to run this right up your asses. Right, you know, right down your throats, right up the middle. And they did. They did all night. Pathetic. No spine from that defense at all. Spineless. Yeah, I hope to see Love next week, too. Because I think Rodgers is just so beat up. You know, and they've got the bye. Like, even if their plan, which I hope it isn't, but if their plan is to play him again at some point this season, give him at least next week, and then the bye is after that. So he'd have 3 weeks to get healthy, right? One, two, yeah, he'd have 3 weeks, plus a day. Because that Rams game is on a Monday night, the 19th at Lambeau. So you'd have 22 days to get healthy. At least give him that. And it's the freaking Bears. You know, play Love against the Bears. Come on. Let's go. Let's see what he has. Let's give, because I do think Love's earned that. Let's give him a game week where he's getting, and I talked about, you know, not getting a lot of snaps last week. He's going to get a lot of snaps as the starter that in that situation. Give him a full week of practice snaps as the starter. Build the game plan around him. See if he can get the locker room to rally around him, if he can inspire guys. You know, see what the locker room looks like with him as the starter. Yeah, I think he deserves that. I think that's what they should do. Absolutely. So yeah, thank you for that, Sean. Our next one. We'll end with the emails with the Kyles. First of the Kyles, Kyle Terpenning, who refuses to get Twitter. God bless you, Kyle. I hate Twitter so much. I'm serious. If I didn't have this show, I'd delete Twitter. I really would. All right, he titles his email Packers. At this point, I don't know what else to say about Barry other than he is the worst defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL, and it isn't even close. So instead of droning on about how abysmal the team is, I thought I'd talk about something else that's Packer-related. My introduction to the team. I know most probably won't care, but seeing as the team is real terrible right now, and I'm sure everyone has already covered it, I thought this might be a little different and maybe encourage others to do something similar so we can have some kind of fun in this wasted season. So the story begins in the sixth grade. Being from the LA area, I didn't have a home team to root for, and my family wasn't big into the NFL. So my introduction to football was my sixth grade teacher. She was a huge Packer fan. What made things interesting is that the next door teacher was a massive Vikings fan. They'd argue and debate in front of us students all the time and make bets. As a kid, I supported my teacher. They made a bet. Whichever team won the game that weekend, that other teacher had to wear the other team's gear the next morning. So I watched the game to see if my teacher would be in a good mood the next day. That game, as I said a few weeks ago, was the Antonio Freeman Miracle Catch Game. After that year, I really didn't watch any more games. I was a fan of the Packers, but not of football, if that makes any sense. I'd always ask people how they were doing, but wouldn't watch the games. Not until 2012 did I finally start watching football. And of course, since the Packers were the only team I knew, I stuck with them. And I always will. They will always be my team. Well, that's my story. Hope at least someone was entertained. Go Pack, go. Thank you for that, Kyle. All right. Kyle trying to bring some fun, as he says, into this wasted season. You gotta love that. You appreciate that, right? We all appreciate that. Because you're right, Kyle. Most of, bang my mic with my cup. Most of the questions, yes, we've kind of covered how bad the team is. Joe Barry, how quick can Jim Leonard get to Green Bay? You know, Rodgers stuff. Yeah, we've covered a lot of that already. So it's cool to see you going a different direction. Because you're right, by the way, Joe Barry might be the worst defensive coordinator in NFL history. That's an interesting... He was the coordinator of the 0-16 Lions. And then he really might be the worst defensive coordinator of all time. I hadn't even thought about that till now. But he might be. I might have to do some sort of statistical comparisons or something. If I can find time during the week. Because he might be. That's very true. Okay. That's awesome. That your first game, that was the Antonio Freeman Miracle Catch Game. What a night that was. That's a cool story. That your teacher, got to keep it real. That's what got you into football, was supporting your teacher, and then you backed the pack, and then you got in on 2012, you finally started watching. That's great stuff. Yeah. I really appreciate you sending that. I don't really have too much to add to that, but that's awesome. I was a Packer fan because it was just in my blood, you know. My father's parents came over from Greece and ended up settling in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Marquette, to be exact, which of course is where I'm from. So my grandfather and then my father started watching football, and they became Packers fans because back then Marquette's only 3 hours from Green Bay and it's like 8 or 9 hours from Detroit. Back in those days, which is the old days, the only game when football was, there wasn't even TV. Football was on the radio. The only games they got on the radio up there were Packer games. So my father and my grandfather would listen to the games on the radio. And then when TV became a thing, the games they got in Marquette were Packers games. So that's how my family became Packers fans, and then passed down to my brother and on to me. So that's my story. But thank you for sending yours, Kyle. I really appreciate that. That's awesome. And if anybody else wants to send anything along those lines, feel free. I'll read it on the show. Next one comes from the other Kyle. Kyle, who used to have Twitter, got rid of it, got it again, got rid of it again. Smart call. He titles his email LTP Philly. Green Bay right now after watching Love. And then he sent me the YouTube link to... Hold on. I hope we don't get fucking sued by Disney. I played in just enough so Disney hopefully won't sue me. He sent me the video to the Circle of Life. And I'm like, it's true. It really is all, you know, like Kyle Kuzno pointed out on Twitter. We're coming up on the anniversary of Rodgers relieving Favre in the Dallas game. Back in 2007. We're coming up on the 15-year anniversary of that. So it's all, this whole thing has just been all, time is a flat circle, whatever, however you want to describe it. It's all happening all over again. You're right. And then he writes, Joe Capers, please, Disney, don't sue me. I only used like 8 seconds of the clip, please. I'm begging you, no cease and desist orders. Joe Barry, gotta go, fam. Go, Pack, go. That's what I mean about Jim Leonard. Like, Doesn't he look at this and go like, Dom Capers, Mike Pettine, Joe Barry, Jesus Christ, these guys are clowns. I led some genuinely great defenses at Wisconsin that didn't have top-level talent, by the way. Like, I could go up there to Green Bay and fix that shit. Yeah. It's all lined up, Jimmy. Come on, Jimmy. Let's go. Move the fam. What is it, 2 hours north? Come on. Yeah, you're right. Can I just say really quick, can I just tell a quick cease and desist story? I don't know if I've ever told this. We got, back in the old Bag of Donuts podcast days, we started our show, Adam, Gene, and I, with Bang on the Drum All Day? Was it with the three of us? Or was it just Adam and I? Either way, around that time, we were using Bang on the Drum All Day. And we got a cease and desist letter from an email from Rhino Records, which was Todd Rundgren's record label. They own the rights to that song, I guess. And they were like, hey, we've been made aware of this. You have to stop using this. So we did. We went back and cut it out of the openings of the shows. But we got a cease and desist letter about that, which I was like, hey, man, do you guys even realize if it weren't for Packers fans, like nobody would give a shit about that song? Like, we're the reason why Bang on the Drum All Day is even a thing. Other than maybe a couple of times it's been used in, like, movies or TV shows. So, I was like, really, Rhino Records? Really gonna do this to us? Buttholes. So, yeah, that happened. Alright, so those are all the emails. Good stuff. We move now to Facebook. I have a couple of Facebook messages. Hold on here, let's pull these up. Okay, we have one from Rob over in London, who writes, question for this week. What is your take on the news leaked out this week on 12's broken thumb / torn ligament? My 2 cents and pennies is why such an update? Surely the medics team in 12 knew what he had done to the thumb. If more information was leaked out, who is your money on that did it? Oh, well, thank you, Rob. That came from the Packers. Yeah, that's pretty clear. The Packers leaked that stuff to Rappaport because I think which came out this morning, this is before the oblique or rib injury or whatever it was tonight. They leaked that because they're setting the stage to shut him down. Yeah. They want everybody to know just how bad the injury is. So it's then easier for them to say, well, look at how bad this is. Like, we can't play him. We have to shut him down. We're not doing a legend dirty in what could be his final days with the team. His thumb is bad. We have to shut him down. I think that's why that leaked. That definitely came from the team, for sure. Because I think the Packers are afraid of Rodgers. Oh, God. They are. We all know it. So they're trying to get as much information out there as possible how bad the thumb is. So they can look good if there is any kind of PR battle that comes up over shutting him down. Yeah, I feel pretty confident that came from the team, Rob. Yeah. Good question. Thanks for sending it. Our next one comes from my buddy in Vancouver. Hold on a second here. My buddy Daniel in Vancouver, who messaged me. He writes, he titles his message, well, whatever. I was at 95% off-season mode before the game, and now it's 100%. In another podcast, I heard some speculations going on that there's a possibility of a deal with the Raiders to bring back Adams? Can you imagine Adams, Watson, Dobbs, Lazard, and Cobb for thirds, and as a mentor, and Jones and Dillon as running backs? Man, this would be a serious offense with either Rodgers or Love. So in the offseason, the focus should be on the defense. I think we will learn about Love the next couple of weeks, and if he is any good. I don't think number 12 will be back. And honestly, Rodgers' reaction on the question about the booing last week, I don't think he wants to be back. What do you think? Oh, and it looks like the Canucks are fighting their dumpster fire and are almost back in the playoff race. Ha ha. Cheers. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, the Canucks are fighting back. That's great. I noticed that. That's great. My Wings are really playing some good hockey. Really playing some good team hockey. Everybody's contributing. I love my guy, my fellow Finn, Husso, getting it done in the Nets. Dylan Larkin's been playing outstanding. I assume they'll pay him at some point. He needs a new deal. Yeah, I noticed that about your Canucks. I did notice that. Yeah, and I'm happy with the Wings. I think they're one of the top three teams, right? One of the top six in the East. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. But nice for a change after the last 5 or 6 years the Wings have been terrible. So, now I didn't hear this. I haven't heard this speculation about bringing back Adams. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that. The thing is, I would be shocked at that. In fact, I actually think there's a greater chance that Rodgers ends up out in Vegas. There were reports, was it last week, that Vegas might be looking to move on from Carr? And the thing with that is, if they get rid of Carr, Adams is going to be livid. Because he went there to play with his guy. That's his buddy. It's his boy. So if you're going to get rid of Carr, I feel like the only way to keep Adams happy there... Whoop, burp, again, got to keep it real for a second time. Is bringing in Aaron Rodgers, right? That's the only way you can smooth over. Because I don't think they're going to get rid of Adams. I imagine the cap hit would be too huge to trade him after 1 year. So they're going to hang on to Adams. I think there's probably a better chance, Daniel, that Rodgers ends up out in Vegas. That feels like that would make sense. He'd be closer to California, you know, playing in an indoor stadium, which he would love. 2 games against Russell Wilson, who he despises. I've mentioned that on the show. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he does. I have that on good authority that he hates Russell Wilson. That feels like a good fit if the Packers were to trade Rodgers. So I don't know about that. And for Jones, I don't know if Aaron Jones is going to be back. I feel like unless he's willing to take a massive pay cut, which why would he? I think he'll probably get traded, or he'll probably be released. But you're right, that would be a serious offense with Adams and Watson on the same. Holy shit, can you imagine? I think we're going to learn. I just hope we get a chance to learn about Love something or another. You know, I hope he's given an honest-to-God look these last 5 games. So, that's my hope. But, you're right, if he's good, I do think that probably increases the likelihood that Rodgers isn't back. Either he decides to ride off into the sunset or asks for a trade. I'll say this. I don't think Rodgers is going to retire. No. I think, if anything, if Love looks good, my guess is Rodgers probably asks for a trade. And again, there's going to be teams interested. Vegas, I think, would be very interested if they move on from Carr. I think Indianapolis would have great interest. I think Washington would have great interest. Those three off the top of my head, I think, would all make sense for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's retiring. I just feel like Rodgers isn't going to want to go out like this. And if Love is good, yeah, then he probably asks for a trade. So, thank you for that, Daniel. Good stuff. Great hearing from you. So those are the... Okay, so that's Twitter. Okay, hold on. Okay, so that's... Oh, one more. I do have one more. A DM from Twitter from Arlis Santos on Twitter at Arlis Santos. See, aren't you glad I checked my Twitter DMs right at the end? Arlis writes, for the pod, aren't you tired of Packers giving other teams in the NFL the first ever stat? Every game we are the first time to give up something. It's so exhausting. Second question, how awesome was Love tonight? By like his third pass, didn't he calm all that anxiety that Rodgers has given you over the past few years? Sensational. We do seem to be the first team that is a lot. We give up a lot of stuff. It's like, oh, the first time that's ever happened. I agree with you. It is exhausting. It's always on the defense, too, it feels like. Which is, it's exhausting. Yeah, absolutely. I thought Love was good. The thing about Love, you know, it calmed my anxiety. It just felt right away like Love was running the Matt LaFleur offense. I just want to say that again. I really felt like, oh, this is what the offense is supposed to look like. You know? Guys just running open. Getting the ball out on time, quickly. Getting it to your playmakers and letting them do what they're paid to do. What a concept. It did feel like, yeah, I felt like, okay, you're right, by like the third pass, I was like, all right, we're run. Because I had anxiety when he came into the game. I was rooting for him. I was like, come on, Jordan, let's do this. And by the third pass, I was like, all right, we're off and running. Let's go. Let's do this damn thing. And I was in the, like, let's win this game mode. That's how well I thought he performed right away. I was like, man, screw just looking good in a loss. Like, let's win this thing. And if the defense had played a little better, they might have had a shot to at least force overtime, which is incredible. And I think they would have with Love. I'll even say that. So, yeah, I agree. So thank you for that, Arliss. Okay, so that's Twitter, the Twitter DMs, email, Facebook message. I think that's everything except for the last question of the night, which I always leave to my other former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, one of my other bestest friends in the world, Gene Bosling. Started it with a question from Adam and his lovely wife. Now we end it with a question from Gene. Gene, I always give you the hammer. Let's assume Rodgers is done for the year. I don't think it'll go this way, but this is an interesting thought exercise. Say Love comes out next week against the Bears, looks good, and gets plenty of runway to take the offense over after the bye week. Let's say he looks good enough in that tryout to give them an intriguing glimpse into a future with him, Jones, and Dylan, a la Baltimore or Philadelphia. And then let's say Rodgers takes the next step in his Lincoln and Kennedy-esque comparison with Favre and decides to come back or drag his feet with his decision for 2023. What do? You make the same decision with Rodgers that they did with Favre 15 years earlier, right? Heck, you might even be able to trade him to the same team and play off the LaFleur-Sala comparison. Sala connection. I can't remember how big of a cap hit that would be, but you would have to toe the line with him, wouldn't you? Strange to think about, but not at all impossible. And if we really want to make this weird, Kirk Cousins' deal in Minnesota is up after 2023. Rodgers in purple in 2024? And Love winning a Super Bowl in 2025. Another round of applause. Gino, you always hit 100 miles an hour on the gun with your questions, and this is no exception. You might have hit 103 on the gun with this one. Okay, so let's play this out. All right, yeah, fuck it. Let's play it out. If Rodgers decides to come back and Love looks good, I think you have to then, if Love looks good these last 5 weeks and Rodgers says, I want to come back, I think you have to sit Rodgers down and just tell him it's not going to happen here in Green Bay. But there are teams that will want you mentioned the Jets. The Jets are another interesting fit, which would be insane, again, because like you said, with the Favre connections, Favre getting traded to the Jets. I think you have to sit Rodgers down. If Love looks good enough in these last however many games he plays, 3 games, 4 games, 5, if he looks good and that's the direction you want to go, then yeah, you have to toe the line with Rodgers and just go, look, it's not happening here. You're not going to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So what do you want to do? Do you want to retire or do you want to keep playing? And at that point, I would expect Rodgers to say, well, he wants to keep playing. So then you do what I've said for a while now, which is, you know, I said this years ago. You sit down with Rodgers and go work out a list of 3 to 4 teams you'd want to play for and let us know. And we'll do the best we can to get you to one of those teams. Provided it's not, you know, the Bears or, you know, the Lions or the 49ers or something. Which even the 49ers they might do. But, you know, you give us a list of 4 to 5 teams and we'll do our best to try to get you there. Yeah. You'd have to toe the line at that point. If you really believe, if you like what you've seen in Love and you think you've got something special, then you have to move on from Rodgers. So yeah, I would think you'd have to toe the line. And you're right. That is interesting that Cousins' deal is up after 2023. Yeah. So you trade Rodgers to the Jets for a year, like Favre, and then he goes, hey, he loves Justin Jefferson. We know that. Then he leaves the Jets, and in 2024, he goes to the Vikings. I'll say this, if it ends the way that it ended with the Favre-Rodgers thing, hell yeah. I'll take Rodgers in purple if it means Jordan Love wins the Super Bowl in 2025. Sign me the hell up, baby. Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's rock. So yeah. Yeah, you'd have to make the same decision that you did with Favre. Yeah. Father time is undefeated. Time waits for no one in the NFL. If you think Love is the guy and he can be the guy to lead you to great things, what is he, 20? I don't even know, is he 24, 25? I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. And I think if Love looks good in these games, I think it would become a no-brainer for the Packers as well. Yeah, I think then they would get the guts to make the move. So thank you for that, Gene. Okay, hold on a second here. I said this wasn't going to be long tonight. I'm at 1:13. So those are all the questions and comments. Thank you to everyone who sent one in. especially tonight since it's late after another loss. I was appreciated. I don't really have a big picture, I'll be honest. I kind of had to scramble this together because the game went so late. I'll just say quick, I think it is time to go to Jordan Love. I think Rodgers is just, the injuries are mounting, and, you know, credit to him for his toughness, but it's time, again, time waits for no one. It's time to, you know, time marches on. It's time to see what they have in Jordan Love. And to give themselves some idea of what to do this offseason. Yeah, I think it's time. Okay, so that just about wraps up this episode of Limps Talk and Pack. Hope this makes you feel a little better about everything. It always helps me, man, to just come on here and just spit all this shit out. You know, all these good vibes if they've won and all this venom if they've lost. It just, I always feel better. You know, if they win and I'm spitting all the good vibes out, I feel even better about things after doing the show. And if they lose and I spit all the venom out, I feel better then too. So my hope is always that listening does the same for you. If it does, then I have done my job. The Packers will be back in action next week on the road, heading down Chicago way to take on the Bears at Soldier Field. That one is thankfully set for a noon Lambeau time kickoff. Will Justin Fields be under center for Chicago? Not sure. Will Rodgers for Green Bay? Not sure. So yeah, it could be Trevor Siemian versus Jordan Love. Siemian! Love! It's the NFL's oldest rivalry, next on Fox! God, we'll probably get Fox's D-team. Shit, probably not even the D-team. They'll probably just have a couple of interns from Northwestern calling the game, I would think. For Siemian and Jordan Love, who knows? I feel like Green Bay, I like the Packers' chances in that one, I will say. I feel like they're probably going to win next week, regardless of who's under center. Yes, I will say that. And of course, I'll be back to recap that one next Sunday night. Win, lose, or draw, Monday morning before you hear it. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one, and yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.